So here it is. Read it out loud. Go. Listen to your father who begot you, and do not despise your mother when she is old. Here's the next scripture. Read it. Go. I told you, Aaron, and you shouldn't talk about your mother that way. Oh. Oh, sorry. Oh. Oh. That's not a scripture. That's a mistake. But it should be a scripture.
Aloha, and welcome to Words of New Hope with Dr. Wayne Cordero, pastor of New Hope Christian Fellowship in Honolulu. Today we have a message Pastor Wayne gave on Mother's Day some years ago, a message that is sure to tug at your heartstrings. You'll hear him reflect on the life of his own mother and how her love for him parallels God's love for us. It's a love that is unconditional. Here's Pastor Wayne with a message entitled, Stewarding a Mother's Love.
I am convinced that I had the best mother in the world. Now, we should all think the same of our mothers, but my mom was a single mom. She was only about 24 inches tall. She's full Japanese and worked as a waitress at the Flamingo restaurant in town. And she taught me how to be thankful. When I was about 6 years old, it was in a car. You see, my favorite time was to ride around in my mom's 51 Chevy. Now, it was three-speed on the column, a bench seat. We didn't have bucket seats in those days, and no safety belts. I would like to, like a surfer, stand right next to her in the front seat so I can see through the windshield. My mother sat on a pillow so she could see over the steering wheel. She usually looked through it, but with the pillow, it gave her just enough lift to be able to see over it. Now, because they had no seat belts, my mother's arm was the seat belt. And when someone would pull in front of her, suddenly across my chest would come this arm, whack. And it wasn't that big of an arm, it was a small arm, but she would get a lot of power and bang, and she would hold me back. Now, she taught me how to be thankful because I remember one time her arm went a little further north than it should have and nailed me right on the nose. And she held me back, bang, my head went back, my nose was just in pieces. And I said, Ma, you broke my nose, you know. And I remember my mother looking at me saying, you better be thankful, boy, you better be thankful. You would be out on that road through the windshield right now if it wasn't for your mother. You better be thankful. I learned how to be thankful that day. But I think my favorite time was in the back seat with my brother Gary. We would be fighting as he always would. And my mother would try to grab us from over the bench seat. Now, there's only about 7 or 8 inch of arm that would go over. And we would see this little thing coming over trying to grab us. And we'd say, well, what, you know, Mom, what is it? She said, you come here, bring. And then she would say this, bring your face to me. Mom, well, you come here, bring your face right here so I can whack you. So I would help my brother move his face towards Mother. And then we'd go back against the seat, and then she'd, you come here. And then we'd just right out of range, you know. We'd be laughing at each other as this little arm is going like this. But my mother got really smart. When we were, like, too far away from her to grab us, she would tap on the brakes, and bang, we're back in play again. But my Japanese mom, what she lacked in seatbelt protection, she sure made up for in love. When we were growing up, because of a divorce that taken place, we couldn't live in our house in Palolo Valley for about a couple of years because we just didn't have the money. And so we actually moved under my uncle's house, which was a basement in the garage. Three sides were wood and plywood, but one side was the side of the hill that they didn't put any wood on. So it was just actually a bare hill that came into our living room. And so during the evenings, which would be cold and kind of mucky and wet, centipedes would come out and through the cracks. And I remember just having the heebie-jeebies. I was just a little kid, and I'd cry, Mom, I want out of this place. I want out of this place. And she would hug me. And I remember night after night, she would sing to me, and she would sing me to sleep my favorite song, Somewhere Over the Rainbow, way up high. And she would sing every night that song until I was just sick of that song. But no, it's actually my favorite song today because it reminds me. And she would always just care for us. She would have laid down her life for us and us four kids. She always believed the best of me. Because you have to understand one thing about me. I wasn't the most compliant kid in the Palolo Valley schools. When I was growing up, I would constantly come home with notes from the vice principal's office. And I remember one day my mom ripping, they used to pin the note on your shirt. And so she ripped that thing off and she'd look at it. And I remember one day she looked at it and she said, I think it was a bad word, gone fun it, she said. I don't know, but she said, those people down there don't know how to treat gifted kids. That's why I loved my mom. She was just so... I told Elwin that. I said, you understand, I'm gifted, you know? And he laughed and he said, you know what they call Portuguese with a real low IQ? I said, what? He said, gifted. I've doubted Elwin's salvation ever since. But we are really indebted to our moms today because every single one of us had one or have one. And you have to remember this, that God holds mothers in a very honored position because every single one of us here in this room, for 9 months, she was a co-creator, as it were, with God. Of course, God gives the breath of life and he gives the software of all the potentiality of his promises into you. But for 9 months, you were actually being nurtured in the womb of a mother. And you were, for 9 months, flesh of her flesh and bone of her bone. Then when you were born into your own entity, you became your own person, yet you still have the traits, flesh of her flesh and bone of her bone. And that's why when a child rejects a mother's love, it is extremely painful because a mother sees it as her own flesh rejecting her. So God has actually wired into a mother a special kind of love that of all creatures, a love for a mother's child most resembles the love of God because we are made in his image. Now, I know that there's a small percentage of moms that don't fit that category. There's because of something going sideways in their lives. They're an anomaly. They're in a different category. But let me just talk about those that really have that heart. The majority of mothers for their children. God has designed them with a very, very special love that I want to talk about today, that not just her love, but the way we steward that love. It's like a gift. How are you going to steward it? It's like a gift. How do you honor it? Because it is out of the honoring of that comes a blessing and a promise that can be received no other way. How many times people come to church because they want God to bless them? A businessman. I go to church because, really, I want God to bless my business. I want God to bless my family. I want God to bless. Well, nothing wrong with that. Others come because, well, I'm not having some... A physical health that I'd like to have, and I want God to lengthen my life, strengthen me. Others say, I want God to help me in my time management so that I put in this much effort, get this much success, rather than this much effort and this much success. I just want God to give me that kind of blessing. Well, it's available, but through a certain avenue, not through God's love, but the way we steward God's love. Some people say, well, Wayne, what's the secret of God's blessings? Does it come in a jar? Does it come from an online pharmacy? Or does it come from, Chinese herbs? No. Does it come from certain ways of classes or clinics? No. Well, where does it come from? It comes from one of the Ten Commandments. It's in the Old Testament, Exodus 20, that God gives one of the Ten Commandments comes with a promise. All the others come more with a curse, but this one comes with a promise attached to it. And it's right in the middle of the ten. It's the fifth commandment, and it talks about honoring a mother and a father's love. It's then grafted into Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 and 2, and it's going to come up on the screen, and let's read this out of the book of Ephesians that comes from the Ten Commandments. Would you read it out loud with me? Go. Obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a... Here's the promise. Let's read it together. Go. So that it may be well with you, and that you may live long on the earth. Read that again. So that it may be well with you, and that you may live long. Now, there's a promise that God gives us, but it's not from God's love or a mother's love. It's how we honor or steward that our days will be prolonged. We'll get more done in the amount of time that you have, and it'll be well with you. God gives us that through a mother's love, but not just the love, it's how we steward that love. This promise is only available by us stewarding a mother's love. And I want to talk to you a little bit about that. How a mother believes and loves and cares, and what are you going to do with that? Today I want to talk to, especially if you're a child in your parents' home, or if you have a mom still living, I want to encourage us to honor that love, because therein lies the release of the promise that it might be well with you and that your days might be prolonged. How? By honoring the love of a mother. I tell my son that all the time. I say, you want to be wise? Listen to your parents. You want to be stupid? Don't. Life is simple. Just like that. And he laughs and laughs. Well, listen, I get it out of the scriptures. Let's read these two scriptures here. It's really for my kids. So here it is. Read it out loud. Go. Listen to your father who begot you, and do not despise your mother when she is old. Here's the next scripture. Read it. Go. I told you, Aaron, and you shouldn't talk about your mother that way. Oh, sorry. That's not a scripture. That's a mistake. But it should be a scripture. But I was thinking about the importance of honoring or stewarding a mother's love. Not the fact that she loves. That's obvious. Although my mother at this time was not necessarily a Christian, she, like most mothers, I think, exampled God's love more than anyone else to me. It was a love that never failed. It's out of 1 Corinthians chapter 13. It's going to come up in part. Let's read it together and see how it really resembles a mother's love. Would you read it? Go. Love is patient. Love is kind and is not jealous. It does not seek its own, is not easily provoked, does not take into account a wrong suffered. And continue. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never... Yeah, God made moms like they are. Because I believe if you want to know God's love, it's most resembled in a mother's love. Because moms always believe the best. Even though you're fibbing, they still believe you. I love that. I mean, I saw that in Anna just when Abby was in middle school. She was about a sixth grader, and she would come home with these notes she's starting to take after her father. And the vice principal would send her home with these notes and say, Abby's been cutting classes. So I remember Anna asking Abby, now the sixth grader, Abby, have you been cutting classes? And Abby, no, mother, I am a model student at the school. And Anna says, I knew you were, honey. I knew you were. And I remember saying to my wife, honey, I would believe the teacher before I would believe a sixth grade pre-criminal. Oh, no, if Abby says that, then I believe her. And I thought, you're just like God. You just believe the best, don't you? Now, let me ask you some obvious questions. Do you think, even if Abby were fibbing, that Anna would still love her? Absolutely. Very obvious. Do you think that Anna's love for her daughter could be taken advantage of by her child? Yes. Do you believe that this child could use her mother's love for evil purposes? For selfish purposes? Absolutely. Can that love be taken advantage of? Yeah. Can God's love be taken advantage of? Can we use it for our own evil purposes? To rationalize and say, well, God loves us anyway, and still be involved with sin. Can we do that?
Yes.
Yeah. See, the question is not, does God love me? The question is, how are you stewarding that love? Because you can take advantage of it. You can rationalize everything and anything for evil purposes, selfish purposes, lusty purposes, doesn't really matter. And you think God knows that we're doing it? Absolutely. I even said to Anna, I said, honey, you got to remember, man, this kid, she is on her way to jail. You can't believe her. She said, oh, no, honey, I believe Abby. Well, it just came to find out that about 2 years later, Abby confesses and said, Mom, I was fibbing. Even when Anna found out, do you think her love stopped for that girl? No, she still loved her anyway. You see, the question is not, does God love me? The question is, am I stewarding his love? Am I honoring his love? Can I take advantage of it? Absolutely. Can I use it for my own purposes? Absolutely. Can I maneuver it and manipulate it and make it sound good like God told me and then add and fill in the blank? Absolutely. But remember this. When it comes to a mom who closely resembles God's love, she will still love us regardless, even if we're fibbing. But the promises of that love is not linked to her loving us. The promise is linked to how well we are stewarding or honoring that love. Even when we can take advantage, we say, no, I will honor that love and I will not use it for my own purposes. Then God says, now it will be well with you. Now I will prolong your days. And mother's love is the same way. She will believe in you, bear all things, believe all things, hopes for all things. But the question is, are you stewarding that? Because that's where the promise comes. The promise is linked to not God's love. He loves you. Even if he knows we're going to fib him and we're going to take advantage of him, does that stop his love? No. Just like a mother's love, it's almost like God says, I'm going to let this happen in the physical, right in front of you, in your own house, so you understand my love for you. But it's not your mom's love. It's how well you're stewarding that love. How much are you honoring that love? That's what the promise is linked to, not her love. It's how you steward that love. How grateful you are for that. How you comply with that. That's about as close as you're going to come to God's love, because you, for 9 months, were flesh of her flesh, bone of her bone. And then I think, ah, because you see, she'll still love you, but the promise may be absent because it's how you steward it. Let me finish with this story that I often tell about this. His name was Tommy, and Tommy and Sally, his sister, would love to go to Grandma and Grandpa's farm during the summer because they had animals and chickens and ducks and horses, and they used to love just being on the farm and having the farm life. Well, one day Tommy, playing with his slingshot, saw some ducks down by the pond, and he noticed Grandma's favorite duck down there, and it was quite a ways off, but he loaded his slingshot with a big old rock and thought, I'll just scare this duck. And there's no way he's going to hit it. It's too far away. And so he said, watch this. And he by himself and pulled it back as far as that surgical tubing would go and allow. And that rock took off in the air. And by mistake, bang, it hit Grandma's favorite duck right in the head. Quack, 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 quack. Boom, boom. Killed it. Dead duck. He ran down there, tried to give it mouth-to-beak resuscitation. It didn't come to life. And so sheepishly he looked around to see if anyone was watching him. Nobody was that he could see. So he picked that duck up and tiptoed behind a tree and dug a hole and buried it. He guiltily put that slingshot in his pocket and walked towards the farmhouse. When Sally was leaning up against a fence, and she said, I saw you, dude. You're dead. He said, you saw what? She said, I saw you kill, murder, and nearly decapitate Grandma's favorite duck. You are dead. He said, no, don't tell anybody. She said, then you will do exactly what I tell you. He said, okay. Well, that night they were having dinner, and Grandma was sitting at the table, and she said, you know, Tommy, tonight Grandma made some cherry pie, your favorite, and I'm going to put a scoop of ice cream, so Sally, wouldn't you come with me in the kitchen? We'll slice up the pies, and you can serve Grandma and Tommy. Oh, Sally said, Tommy changed his mind about cherry pie recently. Really? Said Grandma. Yes, he said he despises cherry pie. In fact, he wants to give his slice and scoop to me to add to mine. Didn't you, Tommy? Tommy said, yes. Quickly sprang from his chair, ran into the kitchen, cut two slices of cherry pie, two scoops of ice cream, and brought it to Sally, who just smugly smiled and said, thank you. Grandma shrugged her shoulders and said, okay. After dinner, Grandma said, Sally, come on, let's wash dishes, and Tommy, you and Grandpa can go watch TV. Oh, Sally said, Tommy's changed his mind about TV. Really, said Grandma, tell me about it. He hates TV. In fact, he said he would love to wash dishes. Isn't that right? Tommy said, oh, I love dirty dishes, Grandma. I love dirty dishes. Runs into the kitchen and starts washing dishes while Sally goes and watches TV and Grandma shrugs her shoulders. Grandma went to the kitchen, hugged Tommy and gave him a kiss and said, thank you, honey, for helping Grandma. Never forget how much she loves you. Well, he kept busily washing dishes. Well, this went on for days and days, until he couldn't do anything without Sally's permission. Finally, he came running up to Grandma in the kitchen. She was drying her hands on her apron, lunchtime, and he was crying, burst out in tears. Grandma, I can't stand this anymore. Tell me what's going on. I can't handle it. I'm going to die. Grandma said, what is going on, honey? He said, Grandma, do you love me? Oh, honey, you know Grandma loves you. Do you really love me, even if you found out something terrible about me? Oh, honey, it doesn't matter. Grandma loves you. That won't ever change. Oh, he said, Grandma, I got to tell you, the other day, I was just playing with my slingshot, and I let a rock go, and it went up, and the wind took it and blew it way over here. It killed your favorite duck. I'm so sorry. Will you still love me? Grandma said, honey, Grandma will always love you. Gave him a big hug. She said, and Grandma forgave you the moment she saw that happen. What? Yes, Grandma was in the kitchen and I saw it happen, and Grandma knew that you didn't mean to do that, and I forgave you the instant that happened. So you knew all along? Yes, Grandma knew all along. Then why did you let my sister keep running my life like this? Grandma said, because I just wanted to see how long you would let her ruin your life. But never forget, Grandma will always love you. You see, the love is not the question. It's, do you steward it correctly? Because if you don't, the promises will be absent. The love is present, but the promises of His care, the promises of that it will go well with you, and that you'll live a prolonged life, will be absent. Question is, does God love me? It's not the question. That's obvious. Question is, how well are you stewarding that? And today, God has given us a wonderful gift in a mom who closely resembles the love of God. And how we honor her is how we'll honor God. Honor moms, because it just may very well be that as you are, you'll not only honor God, but the promises will be released into your life. Moms, thank you for showing us the love of God. Happy Mother's Day.
You have just heard a message entitled Stewarding a Mother's Love, a message given on Mother's Day some years back by Dr. Wayne Cordero, pastor of New Hope Christian Fellowship in Honolulu. Thank you for listening. Now you can listen to Words of New Hope anytime on demand. Just go to www.spreaker.com and search on Words of New Hope. That's Spreaker, S-P-R-E-A-K-E-R.com. Stream the message or download it to your mobile device and listen on the go. That's www.spreaker.com and search on Words of New Hope. Now available 24/7, 365. Thank you for listening to Words of New Hope. Until next time, for Pastor Wayne Cordero, this is Del Gibbs wishing you God's very best and aloha.
What if there were a place where you could discover, develop, and fulfill your dreams? That place is New Hope Christian College.
New Hope Christian College is a place where your teachers really do care about you, they want you to succeed, and they're willing to partner with you to do whatever it takes to make that happen.
The education that I've received at New Hope has really equipped me to graduate market ready.
For more information, go online to newhope.edu or call 1-800-322-2638. New Hope Christian College, a place where dreams are released.